Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation. Recorded live during the Spring 2020 Wednesday webinar series.
Now we will turn our time over to Kari Brimhall and her class on Art is for Everyone.
All right. Hi. I'm Kari Brimhall, and I'm excited to be here with you. I'm inviting you to join me here in my studio. I'm going to turn the camera around. When our kids started growing up, we decided we wanted to change our living room into a studio. And I wish that you could all be here with me. I wish we could all just sit down here at the art table, pull out the paints and the markers, and just do some art. But because we can't, we're going to do the best that we can. So this class is called Art is for Everyone, Including Adults. I've taught an art class for LDSHE for a couple of years. I've taught art in my home, at schools, at libraries. We love art. Our home is filled with lots of creative kids, and as they have grown up, they've taken that art with them. We have a daughter that is, our oldest daughter, Sarah, is a data visualization person. I don't know how to describe her name. And she works with, she works in New York City and is there with her husband and makes data beautiful. Our second daughter, Ishelle, and all of our kids have gone through the LDSHE program and graduated and just loved serving on this program. So Ishelle teaches art in two elementary schools. Jefferson is a photographer and going to school right now, and Mimi is an artist as well. So, and we have a foster son, and he loves art and music, so it's lots of fun. Okay, here we go. So before we get started, I'm gonna give you a minute and a half to go grab some art supplies. You need some paper, and if you have black paper, that's fine. White paper is just great. A pencil, get your camera and your kids if they want to come do art. I'm going to talk to adults, kind of telling you some fun things to do, and then we're actually going to do some an art project. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time, and I'll sing and dance while you go grab those things. If your kids don't want to come until a little later, that's fine, but they are welcome to come and join it. So go grab some things. All right. And I just feel silly. I wish there were people here to chat with, but let me tell you a little bit about myself while you're gathering. And if no one's listening, that's okay too. My husband and I started homeschooling when our oldest daughter was in sixth grade and our youngest daughter was in preschool. And we moved to an area and we lived right on the beach, and we decided, you know what, let's homeschool the kids. We can do anything for 5 months. And so we started homeschooling with the help of many people in our area, and found that we loved it and we loved the lifestyle, and we've been homeschooling ever since. So and it works. Our kids have made it into college. They've graduated from college, and they love learning. So we never thought we would homeschool again once we graduated our daughter, but we have a foster son, and we had a foreign exchange student. And guess what? Coronavirus happened, and now we're homeschooling again. So it's been a fun time, a very creative, an exciting time, which is really fun. Okay, hopefully you've got some paper and a pencil and your camera, because I'm going to show you a couple things that I wasn't going to show at the conference. But now that you're here in my home, I'm happy to share. So, all right. Great quote from Mark Brown, who is the author and illustrator of the Arthur books. So art is one of the ways we talk to each other. Art may be your way of talking to the world. And if you're not involved in or exposed to art, you may be missing a very important way of expressing yourself. I believe that's so true, that art, it allows you that creativity to be able to express things that maybe you can't express with words. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about art museums, because right now I am in my final weeks of training to be a docent to a nearby art museum. And it's been a year long of training, and this will be the second museum that I've worked in. And I love it. Museums are so amazing because they invite people to be creative. They invite people to think and to express themselves. All right, so everyone needs to go to an art museum. If you don't have one that's nearby, you can go virtually. You can do that right now. There's all kinds of, you go to the Louvre, you can go just about to any art museum, and they're doing online, or they have their artwork online, which is really awesome. So before you go, always call and ask, is there a free day? Because don't try to do the whole museum in one day. It won't work. Okay, so ask if there's a free day. Then you don't feel so bad when you don't see everything. You can just come back later. You haven't paid anything. And so a lot of museums offer a free day. Or sometimes there's like a free time. You know, I know like the MoMA in New York City costs $26 or $30 to get in during the day, but on Friday at 5 until 9, it's free. And so you can plan your day around that, you know, but find a time. But ask if they give free tours. Most museums do. They have a set time. And if you've got a group, go ahead and ask, say, oh gosh, there's 10 of us. You know, we'd like, can we have a tour? Are they free? And they're happy. Our museum is thrilled to give tours to homeschoolers. So ask and see if there's a tour, because the tour makes it really, it opens your eyes to a lot of information. Before you go, print out questions. Now, I had a handout. I don't know how that gets to you, but I printed out a whole bunch of questions that I used to, when we used to take our kids to the museum, I wrote up these questions and I cut them all up and I put them in a cup. I don't know why I didn't put them in an envelope or something, but I had a cup and I put them in there, and we'd walk into a gallery and I'd say, okay, everyone come pick a question. And we'd read the question and we'd find a piece of artwork. So if, I don't know how the handout, I'm sure it's somewhere. And if you want a handout, contact them and they'll figure out how to do that. Before you go to the art museum, choose 5 or 6 pieces. That's it. Don't pick a whole wing. Pick 5 or 6 pieces that you want to see that are really important, and then have your older kids research them and learn about them. And then when you go see that one piece of artwork, have them stand up and share with the group. Have them tell about either the painting or the artist. There is a story behind every piece of artwork in a museum. And sometimes it's like Indiana Jones. Like that's how they got it. It's, and being a docent, I get to hear all those stories. How the museum acquired this ancient Chinese statue. And some of the stories are amazing. Some people just donate stuff. Other times, it took some getting to get it. So Have your kids research, and older kids, this is perfect. Give them one thing. Tell them to research the artist or the painting and have them do that. Okay, while you're at the museum, take the museum at your child's pace. I know we've all done it. We've all gone. We've either been the child and dragged through, or we've been the adult dragging our kids. Come on, look at this big, beautiful thing. You'll have to remember this. When I was 10 years old, we lived in Michigan, and we drove to Washington, D.C., and we went to the Smithsonian. And I remember we went to the Natural History Museum. I remember walking in. I know my parents spent hours and hours dragging us around. And I remember two things. Number one, I remember walking in, and there was a whale, and it was suspended from the ceiling. And I just remember thinking, I hope that doesn't fall on us and crush us. That would be bad. And the other thing that I remember from that entire museum, my brother fell in the fountain in the front, so his pants were wet. And the second one, my older brother forgot his belt and had a piece of rope tied around his pants. That's it. That's all I remember. So as a parent, when you go to a museum, whether it's an art museum or another museum, take it at your child's pace. You're not going to see everything. It takes years to see everything. So don't drag your kid and don't try to make him appreciate art in that way. So take it at his pace. Make sure you see stuff that he wants to see. So it's important to make going to a museum a fun time, something that they'll remember. If they just remember one piece of artwork, you have succeeded. So something else that's fun to do while you're at the museum, take a sketchbook. We just have like little tiny sketchbooks that we give our kids. And sometimes museums have stools that you can actually open up and sit down. And so we did this 1 year with a group of friends. We all went to the museum and we gave everyone a little sketchbook and pencils. We all got chairs and sat down. And then my husband handed out little pieces of cardboard and had a little square cut out of them. And you hold that up to a piece of artwork. So everyone got to pick their own artwork. And you hold up this little card and you look through the window. And he said, okay, you're not going to draw the whole sarcophagus in the ancient Egyptian wing. You're only going to draw what you see in that window. That helps limit a child's view. And it might be just a pattern. It might be one hieroglyph. It might be just part of a flower. And that's okay. It's too hard to start with a huge, we're not going to draw the whole thing. We're only going to zoom in on a little part. And so we did that, for like 20 minutes. And, you know, we did it for 5 minutes. Everybody draw. Okay, now go find something else. Everybody draw. And then we all shared. It was fabulous. And then we put our sketchbooks away, and unless the kids wanted to carry them, and they did. They wanted to just walk around, and some of them drew and others didn't. That's okay, but it was fun for us to take a moment, like 20 minutes, and draw. And it was amazing how excited the kids were to just draw. And then we did show and tell. Everyone got to share what they did. And so that was fun, but it was fun to just do a little part. Okay, while you're at the museum, go to the gift shop. And they have little cheap pencils, you know, and buy a small memento of the museum, of their experience, and say, oh, this is your special pencil, remember? Okay, you can buy a pencil for about $1. And, but they'll remember that. That's really important. And, As my children will tell you, I love to shop at gift shops. I don't always shop, but I love to see, and sometimes if we don't have time to see the whole museum, I'll say, hey, in fact, just in January, I went to visit our daughter in New York, and she was like, oh, do you want to go see the museum? And we were trying to fit it in, and I was like, oh, you know, we're having such a hard time to fit it in. And I said, you know what, let's just go to the gift shop. You can see the whole museum right there in the gift shop because every famous painting is on a mug or it's on a book or there's all kinds of animal, stuffed animals and toys and things that have all the artwork from the museum. So I love to go to the gift shop. I don't always buy stuff, but I love to go and look. And they have great books as well. So hit the gift shop because that's really fun. Give each of your kids a dollar or $1.25 and have them do that. Okay, so how do you talk to a painting? I want to teach you. I'm so excited. So as a docent, I try to help people talk to a painting. How many times have we walked through, and myself included, you've gone to an art museum and you're like, wow, oh, that's pretty. Okay, I'm done. We can go to the next gallery and not really look at anything. And sometimes we're just looking like, is there any famous painting in here that I've seen on TV that I should really appreciate or really know? Or if you'll go to an art museum, sometimes people are crowded all around, we went and saw Starry Night. And it was just packed. I mean, there was like 30 people trying to like see and get a better view. And there's other paintings that are really beautiful and important. We love to look at stuff that we know and stuff that we've seen on TV or in books, like, oh, this is famous. You should know what this is. Well, I want to teach you three ways to talk to a painting and really be able to appreciate the paintings. Okay, so this one right here is how to talk. Okay, so this is called the X in the square. So your eyes, and oh, look at this, I have an arrow. Okay, so this painting is a famous one. It's called The Great Wave. And this one is in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And we look at it and go, oh, yeah, I've seen that. I've seen it on t-shirts and I have a mug that has that on. It's, oh, yeah, it's really cool. Okay, stop. It is really cool, but I'm going to show you how it's even cooler. So if your kids are with you, hopefully they're all staring at this picture because it's so fabulous. But if not, this is a good thing for you to know to help them learn to appreciate it. So what you're going to do with your eyes, you're going to make an X. So we're going to start, here's my little arrow, you're going to start right up here in the left hand top corner, and you're going to look at all the stuff as my little cursor, as this little arrow goes across, it's making an X. And already you've like, oh look, that must be his name, it's over there and written in characters. Okay, and as you go across, you're like, wow, those waves, they look like fingers. And as you cross over here, you're like, wait a minute, what is this thing right here? Oh, it's a boat. Oh my goodness, I didn't even notice that. Okay, and you're crossing over, this is Mount Fuji right here, as your eyes, and then you're going to hit the corner, and then you're going to start up here in the right hand corner, and we're going to make the other X. Wow, there's clouds, those are kind of white and tan colored. And again, those creepy wavy fingers, those are kind of cool. And you're crossing and you're like, wow, this wave right here looks just like the mountain. Interesting. Okay, and then you hit the corner and now you're going to make a square. You're going to look with your eyes in the square. And so you're going to go up to the top. And you're like, wait a minute, here is another boat. Whoa, okay. And the other part of that boat is over here. And are these guys, they're looking off the boat, maybe they're hanging on for dear life, who knows? So you're gonna follow up, you're gonna go across, there's not much across the sky, then you're gonna go down over here, and you can notice, look at this wave right here. I will try to do it with the arrow. Look what a beautiful curve that is. It's like a roller coaster. Okay, and you keep going down. This part of the wave, look, it looks like icicles. It's kind of sharp. And then you come to the bottom and look right here. This blue right here is very smooth. It's not part of the wave at all, but there is the white. And you go across and there's another boat. And so these are things when you go to a museum and you want to talk to this painting. So one way is the X and the square. It makes you stop and not just look at it and go, wow, that's great, and move on. It makes you stop and really look deeply into that painting. And all it takes is to make the X and the square. Oh, that's so fun. And that just kind of helps you slow down, because really, and I'm the same. It's like, oh no, we gotta see the whole thing. Come on, let's just walk through. Oh, that's lovely, lovely. Uh-huh, pretty, okay. Slow down, pick one painting, and do an X in the square. Okay, oh, here's another one. Okay, and I don't know, Lisa, if we can open this up to hear some voices as I ask some questions. I don't know if this will work. Okay, so right here we have this amazing picture about Abinadine. We just finished reading about him. And Come Follow Me. And oh, I just love, love, love Arnold Freeberg. And this painting is just one of my favorites because of the amazing detail. So with this one, sometimes when we're at a museum, I'll give my kids a piece of paper or I'll say, open up your sketchbook and you're gonna draw this right here. And I have since added one more row down here. So on a piece of paper, and we won't do it now. I'm checking the time. Okay, we won't do it now, but this is such a fun one. And I've done this for sharing time in primary. I've done it for seminary. I've done it in institute. I have taught this at anywhere and everywhere I can because it makes you really stop and look. And I love to do this with my creative writing classes that I teach because it puts you in the painting. So we're going to jump into this painting. So if your kids are right there right now and you're going to start over here, you make this little chart and you say, okay, look with your eye. What do you see? What is kind of unusual that you see in this painting? And they might say, oh, look at these leopards. Those are kind of scary. Okay, that's scary. Oh, look right here. This is always a favorite. There's a sword and it's broken. And who used that sword and why did it break? Okay, look right here. This looks like maybe it was the king's cup. And this looks like his scepter. It looks kind of because they love feathers, because that showed if the more expensive the feather, the more exotic the bird. And that meant, you know, only the king was allowed to wear like these Quetzalcoatl leaves up here. Okay, but this cup, maybe it was the king's, and look, it's spilled. His wine is all spilled down. So go through and look at these little Aztec looking decorations. They look like they're made out of turquoise. Okay, so the first thing you do is look with your eyes. What do you see? The next thing is, what do you smell? If you were in this court, what would you smell? And of course, the first thing that anyone says is, I smell leopard poop. Or, you know, every picture has an animal and they're always going to smell poop. And that's true. They're going to smell that. Okay. This looks like a pretty small, compact place with the priests, and it looks kind of hot, so I bet you'd smell some sweaty guards, because Abinadi here, he's giving it to them. He's really talking to those guys. So what do you smell? Okay, and if you were in this picture, if you had jumped in, what would you hear? What would you hear in this courtroom? Well, you might hear these snarling leopards. You might hear the clink of that cup. You might hear these priests talking to themselves, saying, how are we going to trick him? You might overhear, kind of, if you can see him, here's some guards, and they're crawling on the ground. Maybe they just fell. They tried to grab him, and he's kind of right and has the spirit with them, and they've kind of fallen. Okay, and my last row that's not on here is I draw a hand, and I say, what if you were there, what could you touch? What would it feel like? And I have, okay, so if you could touch something, look at the king's shoes. There's like a stream. I mean, these are some great looking shoes. But I mean, are these bells on them? Are these buttons? You could feel those. Oh, no. Okay. Whoops, sorry. Preview of the next one. What else could you touch? Maybe these feathers and feel how, I mean, they're soft and feathery. This break here, it looks like wood, like a lattice. So you'd be able to touch that. Now, if I was doing creative writing, this is when I say, okay, pick someone in the picture and write about what's going on from their perspective. Maybe you're going to pick Abinadi, or maybe you're going to pick King Noah, or a priest, or maybe you're going to pick this guy right here. You're going to be a leopard. And tell what's going on from your perspective. Anyway, that's a real fun creative writing. Oh, I love that. Okay, next. How to talk to a painting. These are some questions in a cup. So you can say, does this painting read? So these are in the handout, and they're all printed. And I just would print them on different color papers. And I cut them all apart, stick them in a cup. And I just have the cup like in my purse or bag. And then I'd have everyone pull one out, and I'd say, oh, here we are in this gallery. Does this painting remind you of anyone you know? Or I'd have all the kids go look at all the paintings and find someone that looks like someone you know. And I, my head, you know, where I'm talking, maybe it's covering up, but my daughter's reenacting the painting. And I don't know how to move that. Anyway, so have the kids reenact. So right down here, so these are kind of some fun. What time of year is it in the painting? How can you tell? Does this painting look realistic? How did the artist make it believable? Pick a painting or a sculpture from this room and that you'd want to hang in your house, and why? And have the kids spread out. Give them some time to look around and have them pick, and then explain, I love this painting, or I would never hang that thing in my house. And then explain why. One of our favorites is stand in the same position as their painting. And you've probably seen on Facebook people that have reenacted paintings. They're hilarious. Okay, so what do you think people are saying to each other that are in the painting? What are they doing? All right, so those are ways to talk to a painting when you're at the museum. Okay, here's some fun things to do at home. All right, my very, very hands down favorite kids' art book is Ed Emberle. I found, this is not the original book, but this is the one you can buy today. But I found the original book, I think I was in like third or fourth grade, and it has served me well. It taught me how to draw just very simply. And for example, this dragon, if you want to draw this super awesome dragon, oh no, previews. You start with the letter D that's on its side, and then you add some S's. So he will, he draws it up here, and then down here, he shows you exactly what he added. Okay? And so he takes you step by step by step to draw the dragon. And this is the hardest thing in the book, is to draw this dragon. And so super, super easy. So everybody, I love to give these away for birthday presents, Christmas presents, graduation, whatever. You know, I love to give this book because everyone should be able to draw something. And this is a great way to start. So take your camera, if you have your camera, take a picture of this because you'll want to buy this book. All right, I'm going to leave it up here for just a minute. And this is just super, super basic how to draw. But it's fabulous. And Ed Emberle, he's written a whole slew of books. I mean, there's probably 15. So, but this one is the best one. Okay, next, some more things to do at home. All right, favorite art supplies. Go to Michael's, go to Hobby Lobby. Dick Blick, you can order from him, or he does have stores. Jerry's Artorama, you can order from them. But go to Michael's, use their coupon, same with Hobby Lobby. Michael's has a whole line called Artist Loft, and you can get like a beginner set of paints for about $5. A beginner set of paintbrushes, $5. Chalk, paint, spend the money, spend the $5, and buy some art supplies. And we shop there, but always use a coupon, because we love that. Okay, if you want some great art ideas on or how to teach art, go to deepspacesparkle.com. And there's no spaces, but it's harder to read when it's like that. So Deep Space Sparkle is an art teacher, and she's fabulous, and she has a million ideas. So go visit her site. Notice artwork and have your kids notice artwork as you are out and about. While you're at the dentist, say, hey, that's a pretty cool looking painting on the wall. Or, you know, you're walking through stores. Look at that. Look how beautiful. So start noticing artwork. Hang up artwork. In our house, we have not enough wall space is what we've decided. We knocked down a whole wall to open up, and I was so sad. That was 8 feet of wall space I could have hung stuff on. But hang up your kids' art. Take pictures of famous, buy some artwork, posters, stuff like that. Hang it up. We used to have a weekly job chart, and I would go online and I just search some paintings, and I would put artwork on the job chart, like, oh, everyone should know a Picasso. So here's some artwork while you're checking off that you did your chores this week. So also in this picture, we love to take pictures of artwork. And here's our, I don't know if you can see it, but it's a Giacometti. He's a sculptor, and he sculpts these skinny sculptures. And excuse me. And JJ was making fun that, you know, this is a hazard. He could poke him in the eye. Also down at the bottom. So one year we studied art. Oh, where is that? If I can find it, maybe I'll quick run over and get it. One year we studied, I had two daughters, and they studied artists at two different times. So the first one, give me 10 seconds and I'll see if I can find it. No luck. Okay, so for one year, we did something called Change the World. And each of our kids had to pick one topic for the whole year. And so Ishel, who now teaches art, she chose famous artists. And so each month of the school year, she studied one artist, and then she would share. And she would say, okay, we're having an art lesson. She would teach us about the artist, and then we'd paint like them. Sometimes she just painted, but sometimes the whole family got involved. And so and she had a big, huge palette made out of piece of cardboard. And each month she would put another picture of an artist. And then she printed it out and we glued it in some little books. That was super fun. We learned all about artists. We painted like them. We learned different stuff. Then years later, Mimi, our youngest daughter, she learned about artists, but she, instead of making a big book about it, she made right down here, it's called the Masterpiece Art Gallery. And so we took a big box. I'd seen somebody had made a house, like a doll house out of a box. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be cool to make your own art museum? So we took this big box and we cut the flaps off the top. We cut them up and then we made rooms. We cut doors like you can see down here. We cut an arched door and that's where you could walk in. And so so every month when she learned about something new, a new artist, she would paint like them and then she put it in her art museum. So by the end of the year, her art museum was full. It had sculptures that she had made. She had paintings on the wall. We made little frames. And then all her little dollhouse people went on a tour through the art museum. And then she loved to give tours herself based on her art museum. So that's another fun idea to do with kids. Okay, let's do some art. Okay, this is art. Everyone should know, and I've taught this to the youth every year because everyone needs to know that this is called Thumb Dog. And this is art that is always at your fingertips. And this is great. Everyone should know how to do this because if you ever had a child during sacrament meeting, when we were meeting for church, who is just antsy and can't sit still, this is when you pull out Thumb Dog. Okay, so how do you do it? On a piece of paper, take your paper and you're gonna bend your thumb. And just like the pictures, I'm not gonna draw it on mine because you can see it here. You are gonna bend your thumb, put it on a piece of paper, trace around your thumb, and your thumb is the perfect shape of a dog. Okay, and so then over here in picture number three, you're gonna draw his nose and ear and eye, and then picture number four, you get a mouth, an eyebrow, and some spots if you want. Oh, if sacrament is really a hard time to sit still, you can draw lots of dogs. You can draw the whole, you know, everybody's thumb can be another dog. So this is something, if you ever have to entertain anyone and you have nothing, you have your thumb and you can draw. And that's always fun. Okay, that's your first art lesson. Number two, let's draw like Amedeo Modigliani. Okay, so in 1884 is when he was born and he died in 1920. He was Italian, but he spent most of his life in France. He loved painting, but he had a different style. Do you notice anything about his style? Well, I don't know if he only painted people that had really long, long necks, or if he just, that was his style. So he did. He would draw these beautiful portraits, but everyone had really long necks. So we're going to draw like him today. Okay, here's some more. And sometimes he would draw the eyes and they'd be black. Or they'd be blue and not with pupils. Sometimes like this gal over here, she had pupils in her eyes, but sometimes they were just dark and that was it. Okay, so we'll come back to that one. So here's some examples and this is what we're going to do right now. Oh good, we have lots of time. Okay, so take your piece of paper, okay, and fold it in half. So I'm gonna do mine on white because I think most people have white paper. Okay, fold it in half this way. Then you're gonna fold it again. Okay, so this is like your origami lesson here. Okay, so now when you open it up, there are four parts. Perfect for our lesson. Okay, and so I'm going to put this on a clipboard so you can see it. All right. And, okay. Now I'm going to get my pencil. Now we're going to draw like Modigliani. So you can put your paper just on the table, and that works out great. The first thing we're going to do is draw our head. Now, our head is an oval, it's not a circle. We're not Charlie Brown. And if you can see this middle crease, that's where our chin is going to go. Okay, now our head, we have hair on the top of our head. So we're going to go from here to here. I don't know if you can see that. Draw an oval like that. And your chin is going to be on the middle line, and you're going to have some space on the top. Okay, the next thing you're going to do is draw your eyeballs. And they are like, I teach kids, you draw it like a rainbow, and you have two of them. And then you're going to draw the same rainbow upside down. Okay. And inside, you have pupils, and there's an iris. Ta-da. Now, I forgot to tell you, draw your eyes on the crease. Right there. I love teaching this lesson to kids because it really helps with the perspective, these folds. Okay, now we're going to draw a nose. Now, some noses can just be an upside down seven, or you can draw a triangle with nostrils. Today, I'm going to draw the upside down seven. Okay, and you have a mouth, and I'm going to draw little lips. Oops, there we go. It's like the letter M, and then here's your M, and then you draw a line, and then your bottom lip. Ta-da, you have a head. Okay, now, you have some hair, and your hair, so my hair kind of goes like this, and your hair stands up a little bit off the top of your head, not a lot, unless you have lots of hair. So I'm going to add some hair like this. And my hair is a little long, like that. Okay, now your head's done. Now, because we're doing Modigliani, we're going to draw this long neck. And our long neck is going to take this whole section right here. Because we're drawing like Modigliani. If we weren't drawing like him, we would just draw a short neck. Because we are really not giraffes. Okay, now, whatever shirt you have on, my shirt kind of has scallops. And then you have some shoulders, like this. Now, sometimes, like this one over here, so our son JJ drew this years ago. He put his arm up, and sometimes I'll have kids draw stuff that they like in the background, like football, if they love football or basketball or sports. Then they'll put that in the background. Here's some more examples. And these guys were all wearing jerseys. So now, one thing that I like to do about this lesson is if you can do it on black, even black construction paper, you're going to fold it the exact same way. You fold it in half and fold it in half. These ones right here, and these ones, and I think these ones I started on black paper, and I used chalk. Okay, chalk pastels, and you can buy these. I think they were $5 at Michael's. Not even with the coupon, I think they were just $5. So you can just buy chalk pastels. They're messy. Guess what? Art's messy, and get over it. Just know that you're going to clean up. So anyway, use chalk pastels And I'll have the kids color and then you rub it with your fingers. But if you start on black paper, the black gives it dimension. Like you can see in these pictures. So you're not going to just be scrubbing. I have kids scrub with chalk pastels and it just shrinks them really fast. Have kids turn it on their side and color it that way. Ooh, I can open this up here. I'll show you. Okay, so I have this big bright magenta. And instead of drawing like this with the point, I have them turn it sideways and go this way. You can cover a lot more ground that way, and you don't use up all your chalk, and it's good. Then you can just mix it in. You can also use two different colors of chalk pastels, and they rub in just beautifully. You can mix those colors together. Yes, you'll make a mess, but you clean it up and it's all done. And everybody's had a great time. Okay. All right, a few more things. Oh, and they're so cute. And all those long necks. And because you've used the folding, the paper method, it really helps your perspective. Because one thing, your eyes and your ears are on the same level. And people always think, no, they're not. They're higher or they're lower. No, they're not. They're right there. They're the same level as your eye. And so this just kind of helps break it down into perspective. And now I'll go back to this one. As you can see here, and if you want to know a lesson on perspective, go on YouTube and just type that in. But your face is kind of long, like here, number one, it's oval shaped, and then you cut it in half. Do you know your eyes are almost exactly in the half of your face, almost in the middle? And so if you draw it that way, that helps you with your perspective. All right, and then your eyes, there's different ways you can do that. You can look that up. But super easy and super fun. We've taught this. I've taught this every year. I love to have the kids make a self-portrait of who they are, and it shows their skill, and then as they move along, that's one super fun way to do a self-portrait. All right, ta-da, we're almost to the end of our class, but I wanted to, here's my gift to you. So my daughter, who teaches art, is not in school right now because school's canceled. And she lives out in Utah, but she gets on every day and gives a free art class, and it's on Instagram Live, and it's at 1 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time. So out in Utah, it's at 1. So in California, it would be 12. Central, it'd be 2, and East Coast at 3 o'clock. And she does it Monday through Friday, and she's probably only going to do it for the next 2 weeks. Until school's out. But if your kids want, or she does, like, it's an elementary aged art lesson with things that you find around the house. Usually it's just paper and pencils and watercolors. But tune in, and she's real cute, she's real fun, and she's just having a blast teaching art just online. So there's your freebie. So take your camera and take a picture of that, and remember, Instagram. Figure out what time it is, but go there and have a free art lesson. She does a really great job. Okay, some other things. So how many here, I can't see hands, but how many here remember making Shrinky Dink? When I was a little girl, we used to do this all the time, and I loved it. You'd use your Sharpie markers, and you draw on plastic, and you cut it out, and then you shrink it in. Well, we love doing this. And guess what? Okay, so at the Dollar Tree, these little plastic aluminum foil pans, the ones that come with a plastic lid, This is shrink eating plastic. Guess what? You get this whole thing for $1. The shrink eating plastic that you need to get has the number 6. And that's why I have over here this recycle number 6. The plastic has to have the number 6 on it because that's the one that shrinks the best. Sometimes the other ones don't shrink at all or they shrink up into nothing. So you might even have some around that have cookies in them or I don't know, something. But grab some of that plastic, get out your Sharpies. We do this every spring break, except this year we didn't go because we stayed home. And anyway, we love to go to the beach, and so we have ocean necklaces, or sometimes I'll teach a writing class called You Are Charming, and I have everyone make charms, and then we shrink them down, and those are super fun. Mother's Day, I had my first through third graders draw a picture of their family, like each member of the family, and then we shrunk those down and put them on a necklace for mom. Super fun. Thanksgiving, we've done, I write, I'm thankful for the small things, and then everyone has to make a bracelet charm on all the things they're thankful for, and then you just shrink them down. So easy. So you just draw on the plastic, and then you can shrink it in the oven. And so take your camera and take a picture of this. So, because this is, I wasn't going to even tell about this, but here we are. So super fun. That's something we love to do with kids. And so sometimes we'll have people come over and I'm like, hey, let's make shrinky dinks. So super fun. When you do it, always remember to punch like a hole punch. Punch a hole and that before it shrinks because you can't do it after it shrinks. So draw your picture, cut it out, punch a hole, and then shrink them. So that's super fun. Also, this, hands down, we've been doing this for 20 years. We love to make the spoons, and you use Sculpey clay, which is an oven-baked clay. And I found a picture. This is what they look like if you buy the jumbo pack, or you can buy individual colors. And so we... every spring break or every family reunion, I'll buy one of these packs and I'll buy a bunch of spoons, or I'll buy a bunch of spoons at a garage sale or whatever. And you just put the clay, you squeeze it, and you put it on the end of the spoon or the fork. And for Christmas presents, when our kids were in school, we'd use red, white, and green. And the kids would make a fork, a knife, and a spoon for each of their teachers. And they would design them, and then we'd make them. So again, you take the clay and you squeeze it on the spoon, and then you can make designs. And these ones down below, we did not make. These were online. But everyone makes their own, and they're so fun. And then for a family reunion, we always wash them. We wash them by hand, they last longer, and then we put them on the table, and everyone got to use their own spoon, or sometimes they could borrow their cousin's spoon. You know, and that was a big thing, like, whoa, so exciting to use, you know, cousin George's spoon when you're eating your cereal that morning. So again, take a picture of this, because this is another super fun, and you buy right at Michael's or Hobby Lobby, Walmart even carries these. If you can find glow in the dark, that is even, it's so much fun, because then you can eat in the dark with your glowing spoon. So we've done these, I think the first time we did it was 20 years ago when our kids were really little, and all the cousins made a spoon. So that's really fun. All right. I think I'm at the end. That's the end. So any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Great. Thank you, Kari. So yes, if anybody has any questions, you can put that in the question and answer or in the chat box. I see both. Kari, this has been fabulous. I'm excited to try out a couple of new things. I've never seen that art, so I did my own, and I'm excited to have my son give it a try, and maybe my daughters will join in too.
Well, good. One more thing about that I didn't make a slide for is there are so many online art lessons. For example, you can just go to YouTube and, like, I follow different watercolor artists. I love doing watercolor. And so I will find, you know, find someone and they teach you exactly what to buy and how to do it. So any kind of art that you want to learn, there's somebody out there teaching. So that's one thing. You can go on Skillshare. OutSchool, also I teach on OutSchool now. They do classes. And I even bought a class from, I'm going to have to look it up. And I thought it was really great. And it's called Dome, D-O-M-E-S-T-I-K-A. And I guess that's a foreign language because anyway, I bought a class for $15. There's 9 hours of instruction. It's amazing. So I do have to read Spanish subtitles. So I thought, well, maybe I'm brushing up on my Spanish at the same time. But Skillshare, just look online. I just signed up for an animation class that's kind of fun. They're out there. So if your kids love art, look up on YouTube and have them follow along. We love that. And I'm trying to think, if I can switch my, I'm going to switch around here to the art room. So our art studio is this. It's huge. So once your kids start growing up, you can start doing all kinds of things. But this has been his latest thing. This is a tin can. This started out as a tin can, and then we've glued all kinds of stuff to it. This was our foreign exchange student. He couldn't take it home. It was too fragile. Anyway, they've been doing this. Or my husband carves. He carves horses and whales and everything else. And he's completely learned how to do things. I'm going to show you up here. These are heads that he carved. So everything that you want to learn, you can learn on YouTube. And he's learned how to make leather, and we do watercoloring and painting and anything you want to learn, you can learn on YouTube. So are there any questions? I feel like questions, anyone, anyone?
Yeah, so there's one comment. There was one comment of, I loved it, so many neat ideas, and I already do art with my kids. And I feel the same way. So there is one question. The question is, would you suggest not taking toddlers to the museum with older kids, or what tips do you have for taking the whole family?
Okay, if you have a toddler, I'm trying to think if they let strollers in. You'll have to ask the museum before you go if they do that. If your toddler wants to touch everything, museums are no fun, and no fun for a toddler, and no fun for whoever's watching the toddler, because it's no, I'm going to hold, So if you can find a babysitter, I would leave the toddler at home. They do have sometimes toddler classes. Our museum does a peewee art hour, and they do a story time, and there's different things where it's available, for toddler time. But for me, I would find a babysitter and just take your older ones. As your toddlers are getting bigger and able to, walk around, if you do need to take them, I would bring some crayons and some paper, and maybe one parent could watch the little ones while the other one kind of helps the other ones walk around. So it's hard. You know, museums are hard when you can't touch anything and you're two. So anything else? Any other questions?
She just replied back. She says, thanks. That's good to hear that you would focus on the older kids for the museum. So just wanted you to see that. There are no other questions. And so we will go ahead and end. I have one last bit of information in that this is the time that we start looking for new volunteers for next year's homeschool conference. And so there will be information coming forth within the next couple of days. And so if you are interested in volunteering your talents with LDSHE, we can use you. And so watch your email, watch Facebook. I'm sure that information will be out there soon. And so be prepared to help volunteer. You never know what you may do. You may end up presenting webinars instead of hosting a full conference. And so it's a great opportunity to volunteer.
If I can just add, we worked with LDSHE since 2000. When did we move here? 2006, 2003. And it has changed our life. We volunteered. I served as the youth president for years, and it is a phenomenal place, not only for you to serve, but also your youth. The programs that they put together for the youth are amazing. And the experiences they can get, the leadership experiences, will change you and change your children. It is such a wonderful opportunity to meet and work with such amazing men and women that serve on the board. And it takes a lot of people to pull off a conference. And so everyone is needed. There are things that you can do. And if you say, well, I have little kids, I can't do much. You can type, you can input things. And each of us have talents that we can share. And my talents blossomed because I was able to share those with LDSHE. And I learned more and more on how to build those talents because of the experiences that I had at LDSHE. So I highly recommend that you join in, ask what can you do, and be willing to share your time and then also get your kids involved. The youth program is wonderful, and it's for ages 12 to 18, and everyone, there's a part for everyone. So definitely, when you get the email, definitely just tell them, I'd be happy to help and do whatever, because you will grow and become a better mom, even if you're really busy and everybody's really busy. So definitely join in the fun.
Thanks, Kari. Thank you everyone for being here. And we look forward to our next webinar this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye. Go home and paint something.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.